Hello everyone, welcome to the 7th episode of the All About FPL podcast or stream. And well, oh boy, game week 1 is done and dusted. We're looking at game week 2 right away. The deadline is about 2 days away now. And the two players that we see on the screen itself decided the fate of how the game week 1 went for most of the players. I think pretty much that's said and done. Let's go to game week 1 review quickly. I'm going to talk about a few of the key talking points. So I have a few numbers written down, a few commonly spoke about stats. So if you see, Haaland had the most amount of shots this in game week 1. There was 5, followed by Nunes, Wilson and Son, who had 4 attempts. So Wilson also managed to score once, and Nunes had a goal and assist, and boy oh boy, his impact once coming on made a huge difference for Liverpool as they managed to get a point against Fulham. In terms of chances created, yes, the Leeds-Wolves games was very good. To be frank, the last 20-25 odd minutes where we could see Harrison, Bamford, I think the new signing, Brendan Aaronson. So they all played very well. So Harrison created 6 chances, followed by Madison with 5. He had an assist against Brentford. So there was one. Ward-Prowse scored 1 against Spurs. He created 4 chances, followed by Son, who also had an assist. Then most passes is Kanse. Obviously, we could see him bombing forward against West Ham. He had the most amount of touches also in the final third. And the same goes with, in terms of crosses, it's Reece James who had 17 crosses. And we could see Chelsea literally trying their best to score. First managed to score the penalty and then kind of go ahead. So yeah, these were the key numbers to say the least. And obviously, the most unsurprising result was at Old Trafford, wherein I hyped a lot and I got battered on my face. So that is, to say the least, Spurs scoring 4 goals, City cruising, Liverpool surprisingly struggling, but I think the intent was good in the last few minutes, especially with Klopp blaming the dry pitch and all. But now I think let's go straight away to game week 2, because that is what is around the corner and that is what is very important. So these are the 3 fixtures, the key fixture to target. Obviously, City Bournemouth is a game where, I mean, Haaland scoring 2 goals against West Ham, meaning that that fixture is one to watch. Liverpool Palace, Liverpool, again, drop points. So there is a lot to play. Arsenal Leicester, Arsenal had an excellent game against Palace. So again, nothing to say the least. So I think we'll go straight away to probably fixtures to target and players to target. So the first on the list is actually the City game. So I'm going to Srini straight away for him to, you know, share more information.
Yeah, so City had a very convincing win against West Ham in the first game, winning 2-0. And as we know, like, the man of the moment is Haaland. There were a few doubts about him on after those misses in the Community Shield, whether we need to go with Haaland or not. But now the opinion is straight away. He is a must-own, and it is the matter of how you bringing in, if you are sacrificing Kane, taking a hit or something. But at the moment, he looks like the must-own player in the league. As Aditya mentioned, like, City created 4 big chances and all 4 big chances fell to Haaland, and which suggests that City are tweaking their style of play, which we can see from the eye test, to set up Haaland. I think this might be, this really early to say, but this might be the season where we can tell City's attacking output won't be that much spread, and it will mainly revolve around Haaland. It is very early to talk, but from the first game, it looks like that at the moment. And surprisingly, City opted for a 2-3-5 formation in the West Ham game, which was a very different formation from Pep. The centre back stayed back, and the 2-3 in the mid three was Cancelo and Walker played as inverted centre midfielders around Rodri, and they occupied the midfield, which meant there were 5 in attack mostly, and Grealish and Foden started on the left and the right wing, and they were occupying the width of the pitch mostly, so we couldn't see much of an attacking output from them, and everything was revolving around Haaland. Like, City didn't tweak the play as such directly by putting in too much crosses for Haaland, but they were playing more through the center, and it was surely a change from last season. So yeah, I think so Haaland is a must own, and he should be the top captaincy choice as well, ahead of Salah for this game week. And coming to other players, everyone wants Cancelo. And the new position of Cancelo playing as the inverted center midfielder. It looks like he'll play there, and we can't see much of an attacking output, but there will be more bonus points for Walker and Cancelo both due to the number of passes, number of successful passes they make. There'll be too much on bonus points. And yeah, so the other players like Foden and Grealish looked really good, but in terms of FPL output under the new system, it looks like they are pretty much on the sidelines and occupying the width of the pitch, and there won't be much of an FPL return. So we need to wait and watch.
So the next is actually Kane versus Haaland. So nicely summed up, Srini. And we'll go to the next slide, because the next slide has something very important. That's the heat map. Now, as far as what I saw Spurs play, Kane was again not playing up front. He was dropping in deep and then they were moving up front. It was kind of very similar to what we saw under Mourinho. That's why Son and all were like bombing and, you know, getting more success. The same, I think Kulusevski and the fullbacks, Sesenyo and Emerson, got benefited. And that's why I think those who had Kane, we didn't get the points that we wanted. And Haaland's positioning straight away, he shows up that he was literally up front and those through balls helped him a lot. So Suresh, what did you see between these two players, and what have you noticed with Kane and with Haaland?
No, see, Kane, there's nothing new that we have observed. You know, we saw this happening last season as well. Conte wants him to, you know, draw a little back, you know, try involve with the midfielders and then take the game up. So we saw something similar to that in the first game. And some of the previous preseason games, it was, you know, Kane who played up front and San was doing all this contrary to what we saw last season. But on the flip side, as you told, Haaland, on the other hand, he has played as a proper number nine. They have utilized him really well. There was a little bit of sync-up issues in the Community Shield game that we all talked about. But that is, you know, they're bridging that gap slowly, trying to find him, you know, at each passing scenario that happens. For me, one particular thing stood out was Haaland's second goal. The way how City, you know, changed that from a defensive position to attacking, it hardly took them three passes. From Rodri to KDB and KDB finding that peach of a pass to Haaland, you know, that was literally, they started the game from their box. He literally changed it, you know, to Haaland's speed to convert that goal. So that's the kind of thing which we are going to see going forward as well. You know, more of how they're going to feed Haaland. That's not definitely going to, on the flip side, it's not going to bring down Kane's ability. There's going to be more to come, but all these knee-jerk reactions that we are seeing, it is bound to happen. There could have been many people who have booked the transfers already. That is also, you know, playing a part here, but the countering difference in points scored, you know, is adding fuel to the fire. So, yeah, I think... equally good. I love Spurs game as well. They literally scored double amount of goals of what City scored in this particular game. So despite that, both Son and Kane hardly had one attacking return between them. Definitely they are going to be more involved, more goals and assists from those players as well. But yeah, Haaland is going to be the talk of the town this game week.
Yeah, indeed. I think whoever missed the boat for game week one, I think they still have a chance, including me, to get Haaland. Or there could be a situation where both Kane and Haaland also score this game week. So we never know what is going to happen at the end of game week two. So let's wait and watch. And I mean, like, after seeing Haaland's performance, I think most of us made up our minds. And that's why we saw the first prize rise happen itself on Monday. And then there's going to be a second prize rise probably based on the current percentage of, you know, price predictions and all. So we'll see how those things go on. And the next is basically the City fullbacks. I think Srini very well mentioned about those players. The same, this heat map also kind of justify his opinions. And Kanji, obviously, I said he was bombing forward. He had the most touches in opponent stuff. And Walker this time was also inverted a bit. And we saw him playing, joining in the midfield and also, you know, kind of attacking. But I think as far as attacking outputs are concerned, I think Kanji is someone who had more, I think, attempts and chances, as we could see him crossing the ball more often there. So I think we are good to go to the next slide, right, Shini?
Yeah, we think we are good to go. Like to round up City, like many people were thinking on doing the sideways move from Kulusevski to Foden or Mount to Foden. I still think Foden is not that good or settled on the right side yet, and it will take time for him to settle. And come game week two, like, there could be a surprise benching for Foden and Mahrez could start as well. So I don't see the sideways move to move from a Diaz or Mount to a Foden at the moment. You can wait to go for the City midfield slot little later. And I was talking to Suresh, like, he mentioned a very good point before the stream. There was there could be a potential double up in City defense could do wonders this season. Rather, Haaland and the defensive double up looks to be the way to go. So I think with the current set of fixtures till game week 8, you can go with Walker or Ake could be your third City pick rather than someone like Foden or Mahrez, who are not sure to start and don't look that much settled under the new system at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's a good shout for those who are in the bigger pick at the back army. So you have another chance. I think those who have gone with back five, I think more or less have either double Liverpool or double City. So I think they might look to see how things pan their way. Okay, the next thing is basically we're going to look at again players to target, but City is done, but less. Again, we covered up this. Next, Ilkay Gundogan also played a good role. I think we saw him. I think the first goal resulted through his through ball where Haaland got a penalty. And then, I mean, that's pretty much evident. Gundogan played, but Bernardo was benched. So only Pep knows what he's doing. But the Gundogan that we've seen two seasons back, I think we could see maybe him creating more chances and helping Haaland to score. It's what we've seen in game week one, but there's still a long way to go.
Yeah, and Gundogan, I personally feel there is a good shout for to bring in Gundogan as a differential option if you want. If you are planning a game week 3 wildcard or something, you want to do something very outrageous and feel like doing something, I think Gundogan may be the right pick because he was always there in the box. He occupied better spaces than Grealish and Foden than the wingers. The left eight, under the new system, the left eight gets the more chances where Grealish and Foden occupy the sidelines. So I think that there may be a big haul potential for Gundogan. And if Bernardo Silva leaves to Barcelona, as per the rumours, I think Gundogan could very well be 20-25% won in a matter of few weeks.
Well, I think we said we'll move on to the next team, but then Gundogan appears in the next slide. So we had to cover this up. Before I go in, I saw one comment from Surya. He said that very weird to see Spurs score four goals and then Kane Son only not being involved, but Son being involved in one. I think those who had Son, I think you still should be happy. Managed to get at least an assist rather than Kane who blanked. So that's one way to look at it. But I think over the last few games, I think I saw somewhere, I don't know how many games, it was Kane and Sol who were constantly involved. And this was the first time, like, we didn't see Kane or both of them combined or both of them being, you know, named in the score sheet. So that was something which was very weird.
It's a good thing for Spurs on the whole. I've been talking with a couple of Spurs fans. You know, it's they are more happy, you know. The goals are coming from elsewhere rather than Son and Kane. So in one way or the other, it's benefiting the team on the whole. But yeah, it's weird to see, as Surya mentioned.
Yes. So we'll go to the next part. That is, again, players to target. Darwin Nunez is one again. I think we were all kind of uncertain whether he would start or not, because obviously with Robertson versus Diaz was more like looked at. Nunez was someone who managers kind of prefer to wait and see what would happen, and then maybe he would turn out to be the third choice Liverpool option. Now, I think with Nunez coming on, I think, to be honest, he played really well that game, and he helped them bridge the attack which they were lacking in the first half and or on the first 10 minutes of the second half also. So this is Liverpool versus Palace, the other game that we are looking to target, and Liverpool are playing at home. They drop points, so I think pretty much most of us have all the players mentioned in this list. At least Salah, Trent, Robertson, Diaz, everybody has. Nunez is the only one where people could look to get, or maybe those who don't have triple Liverpool can try. But again, to say that with most of us have Gabriel Jesus and Haaland or Kane, that that spot for Nunez is something which is very tricky, wherein you'll have to downgrade a midfield and all those things. But yeah, Nunez is a good shout. I think once the time arrives, we'll see. Suresh is one very happy Kulusevski owner. That's why he was happy saying that others are being involved, right? So he got the
money. Definitely, yeah. Yeah, so, definitely. Talking about Nunez, Nunez is, you know, a really interesting option. That's something I have in my radar as well, probably by game week 3. So I can ship Wilson out, and you know, by the looks of it, if Nunez is really good and is going to get regular minutes, probably that's one option. Yeah, definitely with whatever little that he played, he had a huge impact in the game. So definitely want to watch.
Yeah, like one question to Suresh. Like I guess by the looks of Nunez, it looks like around game week 6-7, he'll be pretty much owned by 20-25% teams. So I think, like Suresh told, if you get him by game week 3, there is a very huge upside. But at what risk we need to bring it in? Are you sure on going without Jesus against Fulham and Bournemouth and go to someone like Darwin Nunez? That's the big call we need to take. So
exactly. No, that's a huge gamble, you know, one has to take. But interestingly, we have got, you know, more forward options this time compared to what we had the last season or even the previous one. The forward options was dried out. Surprisingly, this time, we are starting to see more options, be it the budget or the mid or the premium category. So there's a good amount of players in each different segment. But yeah, Jesus is someone, I went without Jesus into the season. Was not very comfortable looking at the staggering amount of people who won him. He was very lively in the first 20-30 minutes, to be honest. I was really scared that he's going to come out with, you know, two or three attacking returns out of that game. But yeah, it is how you balance. Either you bring him alongside, you bring Nunez alongside Jesus, or you bring, Nunez in place of Jesus. It's something, you know, where you take the gambles and where you compensate and shuffle your risks along. So that plays a huge role. So it depends and it varies from team to team.
Yeah, so we'll go on to the next slide again. You take the risk whenever you want. If you get the points, you're a happy man. Otherwise, you can't help. That's how the game works. And this is, I think, Nunez's kind of positioning. And it did make a huge difference once he came on. And that's pretty much evident. And he was helping Liverpool bridge the gap in the attack and link up, link the play and all those things. So I think it's fair to say it's just the first weekend. You know, some teams are just off pace. Some teams have caught up very well and some teams will catch up. So we did have a few surprising results here and there, but that's how football works. We can't help.
Go to the previous slide. Like we can see from the position map that there is a huge difference when Firmino plays and Darwin Nunez plays from their average position. It is when it is very clear that when Nunez came on, it looks like it had more potential for Diaz and Salah to even prosper on a Liverpool attack to on a whole to prosper. Liverpool looked like a very different team when Nunez came on. I think Nunez will start game week 2 and him starting will take away some of the returns of Salah and Diaz. But I think even it takes away their returns, I think it also helps them in a way. Like there could be more assists and more return potential for Diaz and Salah. So, yeah, I think that huge difference is something to monitor on. I think Klopp will straight away go to Nunez from game week 2.
Yeah, I think one thing I would like to quickly add is that when Nunez came in, right, the defenders were all marking him. They were looking at him, which allowed the others also to make those sneaky runs. We saw Diaz had a couple of, I think we had one chance after Nunez came on. One shot, he hit the post, which was very difficult. And I think this allowed Salah also to score the goal because of Nunez. He managed to score a goal. So, good strikers always attract defenders, allow the other players to make those runs, and that's what we're able to see. And help in this comment also, like just like Haaland, Nunez, two had great numbers, three out of the four big chances. Yeah, and as I said, he had four attempts on goal, right? Only Haaland had five, and there are a couple of other players who had four more attempts. So I think safe to say we're done with Darwin Nunez. We'll go to the next player, that is Gabriel Martinelli. So all those people who don't have Gabriel Jesus, have him or have Saka, I can see a happy man there. And that is what he's expecting. Him to produce more, Jesus to blank, and so that he can get to this.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this guy was too good, man. On the first game, Martinelli, as I was speaking about Jesus, he was so lively as well, you know, very much involved in the game. He could have come out with a couple of more attacking returns as well. But, you know, unfortunately, he had all the block shots and all that, but Martinelli is amazing. And you know, I don't think there is any threat immediately. At least there's no threat for his players. You know, we were all worried about, you know, there was talks about rotations and all that with Smith Rowe, you know, getting ready, but he's still injured, I believe. So I think Martinelli is one amazing assert for his value. I think probably the best value for this season to begin with, and compare him with the likes of Bowen, you know, what we started or what we had last season. So if you really don't have Martinelli, I think you should start, you know, having a plan to try and get him in at least in a couple of weeks, not immediately, but at least in a few weeks' time. But he had one really good game against, you know, Alice to begin the season with.
Yeah, so at times I did see Martinelli also play in the front two with Gabriel Jesus. And, you know, when the game started, I was watching, obviously, it was midnight for us in India. And I was seeing this guy is literally up front. He's playing nearly as a second striker. Jesus is dropping when he's in front. And he was in the great, good positions. That's why he had one shot that he, I think he side-footed it, took on his weaker side. I think if he had taken on his right foot, he might have ended up scoring a brace for all those who had him. But that's how football is again. And yeah, Martinelli played well. Saka was... I didn't feel Saka was as effective as Martinelli in that particular game, probably because of Palace setup. But he did end up getting the shot deflected in. I think it was one of their defenders.
Saka was doing more of defensive work as well. To my surprise, he was putting in a lot of work rate. The way he dropped down to even clear a couple of, you know, put in some tackles in their defensive area. So he was doing a bit of defensive work as well. Probably that didn't, you know, translate into more of an attacking role. Probably that's how, you know, Arteta wanted to set up this particular game. But going forward, it is going to be interesting to see how the front three is going to shuffle around. As Aditya rightly mentioned, Martinelli and Jesus, they switch between them. Jesus, we know, you know, he comes from a team where you know, Pep used to train them to use the width of the pitch, you know, go to the extreme and then, you know, stretch the ground and then utilize that space to get into the box and stuff. So he was pretty much doing that, complementing each other, both Martinelli and Jesus. So yeah, definitely these two and alongside Saka is going to be interesting to watch.
And coming to Arsenal's defense, the Zinchenko got an assist on his debut, and he got a price raise as well the next day. So he's at 5.1 at the moment. But like watching Arsenal defense, Arsenal look like a much improved defensive side thanks to Saliba, and he looks to be the best pick among the Arsenal defense in my opinion. He's at just 4.5, and he was the man of the match in the game. And he was very calm and composed on the ball. He got 3 bonus points, and I think he improves Arsenal defense as a whole. I feel he's a much better pick than Zinchenko, because as we saw, Tierney came on in the second half little late, and there could be potential to reduce Zinchenko's minutes. Zinchenko could well play as an 8 also, but I think if you get someone from a top 6 club with very great fixtures, if you don't have an Arsenal team defender, I think Saliba is the pick to go till game week 8.
Yeah, I think even a couple of there were tweets out on Twitter saying that probably Saliba, the way he defended, he looked to be a bonus point magnet. Same with Zinchenko because of the chance. I think this made Ramsdale not get the extra bonus points. But nevertheless, if they defend well, Ramsdale will get those clean sheet points. That is what is good. But last year, Ramsdale was indeed a bonus point magnet with the amount of saves he did and the way Arsenal were defending. But I think it's looking good for Arsenal so far this season. And another thing is that since we're talking about Arsenal, this is the game Arsenal against Leicester. And there's a last player mentioned right down in this list. That is Jamie Vardy, I think, who has scored like 11 goals against Arsenal, is what is mentioned. I mean, if you're banking on somebody to score against Arsenal in this fixture, I think it is this guy. So if you have him, I think still be relaxed. I think he'll end up doing something.
Yeah, and one more player who had the great numbers was Maddison. Like he was involved in everything what Leicester did, and he had the most shots in this game week with six shots. And I feel like if you have him, you can hold him for sure. And once the fixture eases around game week 5, and if he stays at Leicester, he could be he could be one of the best 8 million mids. When Leicester don't have Europe and the likes of Saka, Foden will be involved in Europe as well. And around that time, Madison can be a really good pick.
Yeah, the only the irony here is that we hyped up all about, you know, Arsenal defense, and we are also promoting Jamie Vardy. But that's the quality of Jamie Vardy. He doesn't need much of a chances. You know, his conversion rate is pretty high. But yeah, that's something, you know, to keep in mind. Take gambles here and there. The only caveat that I would like to add to Saliba discussion is that Saliba was too good on that day. But I'm not sure how long Ben White might, you know, play on the right back. Probably Tomiyasu comes back from the injury and he takes up that spot. It'll be interesting to see whether, you know, Arteta brings Ben White back into the squad or whether he's going to continue with Saliba. So that's something to watch out.
Yes, yeah. That's something.
And what do you think of Leicester's attack? Like, it was a crazy game against Brentford in the 2-2. Draw and Leicester, it was a game of literally like two halves. Everything was going Leicester's way and they dominated the game for the first 60 minutes or 50 minutes and then it was their game to lose and Brendan Rodgers was the man to blame because of the substitutions and it was a mess.
There's a whole bunch of Danny Ward owners who's praying for a clean sheet. But then, you know, eventually we know what happened, what was going to happen and stuff. Yeah, they literally screwed up. But yeah, I think from an attacking perspective, there's still good options. Jamie Vardy, you know, we know the credibility of the player. Same goes with Madison. But Madison, again, all the rumors and transfer news with him, that's something you need to be cautioned about. Defense, I would definitely not go anywhere. I know Castagna took a really good goal and their fullbacks would be really interesting as well. But the potential move of Fofana to Chelsea or all the news around that, that's, you know, kind of puts me off from the Leicester's defense because they lost their best goalkeeper, their captain, and they're about to lose their second best defender as well. So that could have a huge impact in their defensive options. But yeah, we'll see in a couple of games because the fixtures are still not that good to, you know, immediately jump on.
Yes, so let us move to the next slide. I think this is Martinelli's positioning as we did discuss that he was in the middle and then he was making those runs. He was also playing as up front in the front too. So I think we did discuss these are those from few screenshots on screen. And I think we've pretty much covered those three fixtures that we feel are targetable. I think there are a few couple of other games, so we'll just quickly go on to that particular slide to see if we can see any other games other than these three. Any other fixture that you would like to talk about, any particular player?
We'll go fixture-wise. First one is on the screen is Villa versus Everton. So as a question of, I think Aditya owns Bailey. So there are rumors of dropping Bailey and going with the front two of Watkins and Ings again. Like, and the game we saw against Bournemouth was a very disappointing one for Villa. We didn't expect things to go that way. And I was disappointed as a Dean owner myself. So I think it was totally a bad performance from Aston Villa rather than a good performance from Bournemouth. So there are plenty of Bailey owners still. So what are your thoughts on Bailey out there? You're using a transfer for it or you'll give him one more week versus Everton side and then see?
Yeah, I think I'll give one more week. I think you were hyping Dinia scoring or creating something from a set piece and they themselves ended up conceding from a set piece. So that's how it turned out to be. I think Bailey, yeah, I mean, in terms of crosses and all, I saw his numbers were decently up, but they were struggling. So when teams struggle, they just start crossing and let's see what happens. So I think that is what happened. And yeah, I think I'll give him one more week. I think he's priced 5, right? I think it's very difficult to find. I think maybe Pedro Neto and all was what happened. That one skill move was the best performance in that week from him, but not going to, you know, say anything more about the play. He's a good player. But other than that, I mean, the Wolves have signed Gonzalo Guedes, I think, from Valencia. We'll see how that will work out for them. There are a couple of other options. I think I really like Brendan Aaronson from Leeds. I think he's 5.5 and he was in proper positions and all. So maybe looking at that, and Leeds played well, I would say, for the last 25 odd minutes from what I saw. So I'm looking at maybe getting in a Leeds play later, but I'm going to keep Leon Bailey for this week. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's the thought process I have with Villa players. Like against Everton at home, there is nothing to lose. Villa do particularly well at home, and if you're a Cash, Dean or a Bailey owner, you can give them one more game. And their fixtures are also difficult from game week 3. So even if Dean gets a 15-pointer, I'm sure shipping him out for someone like Walker or Perisic. So that's my thought process.
So I'm literally looking at the fixtures, what to do. I think we covered the three. I think Wolves Fulham might be a good game of unknown players returning, because we don't know what is going to happen. Southampton Leeds is going to be a good game, I feel. Like they conceded 4 against Spurs, and Leeds also kind of played well. So there is one pick later down the slides that we'll talk about in that particular picture. Brighton Newcastle, I think Pascal Gross, who managed to score 2 goals against United. He was in the right positions to score both the goals, and United got slapped at their own house in the first week. And they are traveling to Brentford to get slapped again, probably. So we'll see what happens with that.
I think game that I'm really interested to watch this week is the Brentford United and Nottingham Forest in West Ham. The primary reason is I'm monitoring a couple of these forwards from an FPL perspective, be it Tony or be it Antonio. They could start getting good run of fixtures, going into game week 3. So the likes of, from my perspective, I've got Wilson, so I would like to downgrade or either upgrade. So probably those games, I'm really keen on watching what is the sort of comeback that United is going to do, or, whether they're going to be flat once again, allow Brentford to, dominate the game. Same goes with West Ham. Forest was nowhere to be seen on their first game, and West Ham would definitely like to come back, take a couple of points after, getting beaten by the league champions. So those two fixtures are something which I'm really keen on. So let's see how that progresses.
I think probably the fixture of this game is obviously Chelsea against Spurs, and I think if we take a nil-nil, everybody will be happy and they'll move on from here. I think that's what...
Definitely not me.
So that's why he's like banging that drum.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah. But yeah, that's the game to watch for sure. There'll be more from a footballing aspect rather than an FPL aspect. That game would really be good to watch how they go on about this particular game. But yeah, otherwise, these three which we have listed here, that's pretty much to target from an FPL perspective. If you have the likes of City Boys, most of them are going to captain one of the City Boys, and Liverpool is equally going to be popular with Salah.
One more fixture which I will have a close watch is Brighton versus Newcastle. I think both are very, very good teams, and I feel like they have the potential to finish 7th, 8th, 9th this season. They are among the, they can potentially push for a European spot. They both looked really good in game week 1. And in fact, Newcastle was the pick of the teams in terms of shots inside the box and shots on target in game week 1. They topped all the three metrics, and due to Shelby's injury, I think it was a kind of a blessing in disguise. Like, they were able to attack really well. They played with the mid three of Bruno Guimaraes, Joey Linton and Almiron. So I think once Shelby comes back, Bruno could move up a little front, and Bruno Guimaraes is surely on my watch list from game week 6. Around game week 6, if I play the wild card for the first wild card, he's one of the good options to consider. And Brighton, I think you guys would be able to give a good brief about Brighton on and what we can expect from them. And they are much like a team like City, who is coached by a very good coach. And I think this might be the season where they could satisfy their expected goals and expected clean sheets to turn into reality. Because
I think that one's really, so, whatever Aditya predicted for Chelsea and Spurs, I would take that, you know, with both hands, going into Brighton and Newcastle game. If it is ending as a nil-nil game, I would be the most happiest person, as I have both Sanchez and Trippier in that game. I don't mind Wilson blanking, but that's okay. But yeah, definitely, that's another interesting game to watch out. You know, two really good improved sides. And yeah.
We'll see how really good improved sides, and the way Brighton played at Old Trafford was, they knew where they were playing, they knew how to play, their passes were crisp, the attack was good, and they capitalized their chances. I think if you want to win games, that's how you do, and they did it. And so, Potter is a good coach, we all know that. And obviously, the style of play itself at Brighton itself just speaks a lot. And I think that game against Newcastle is going to be a good one. Probably it might be nil-nil or somebody will get a win, so we'll see what happens. And I think we've basically spoken a lot in this particular segment. We'll move on quickly to the differentials. So you need to give me time until I just switch over things from here to there. And there are three players that's right in the band who's going to pop up. Yeah. So one is Welbeck, who surprisingly was managed to get past Maguire like Mbappe and was going through. Gundogan, again, as Sini spoke like a few minutes back regarding his positioning. And the third guy is, I said about Aronson, but this player, there was Bamford, who also looked good with Harrison. Basically, Leeds played well. So, I think we'll go on in-depth now. So, these are the players from Leeds. So, anything you want to add in here, Sini?
Yeah, so the first one which we saw in the previous slide was Welbeck. He was someone like surprisingly one person won. And I think he could, with the potential, very good fixtures for Brighton in the coming weeks. Like from, they have, after the Newcastle game, they have West Ham, Leeds, Fulham, Leicester, Bournemouth. These are five winnable games for Brighton. And if he nails down his spot ahead of Maupay and Undav, I think he can be one of the picks to consider. But because Brighton are a team, again, like Man City, whose goals are much spread out, I think we can potentially wait and watch. But at this ownership, for someone like Suresh, who wants to downgrade someone like, and at 6.5, I think he's one of the best around at that price point. Mitrovic is the other one, obviously. But if you want to go differential, I think he can be the pick.
Yeah, I think there is one stat which clearly says that only Haaland registered more shots in the box than Welbeck. So that itself shows how promising he is.
The only problem with Welbeck is that, you know, we know how historically he has struggled with his fitness. So, you know, we can never be so assured that, okay, I'm getting in a player, you know, I'm going to ride it out with the, let's say, 4 to 5 game weeks set of fixtures where it is all green. And, you know, we know he's going to play in and out of the, you know, week in, week out, 90 minutes kind of a thing. That's the only caveat. That's the only problem with Welbeck. But otherwise, he's been amazing, you know, bits and pieces in the last season as well. In the first game, he was truly good. You know, completely decimated us. So that's something to watch out. Definitely in my watch list, Danny Welbeck. But the fitness concern is probably the little factor that will put me off. But otherwise, yeah, if we can switch to the other one, Aditya, the next differential that we touched upon, right? The Leeds boys. That's something, you know, alongside Jack Harrison and Bamford, the other one is the 5.5 midfielder, Aronson, right? So he is also, what is his price? Am I getting it correct? Is it 5.5?
Yeah, he's 5.5. Yeah.
5.5.
Yeah, so really good fixtures, you know. I'm looking at the long screen. So starting from game week 4, it is Brighton, Everton, Brentford, and Nottingham Forest. So that's a great set of run, you know, for 5 game weeks. Really good choice. Most of us might have the likes of Neto or even Bailey. If we have to upgrade to someone or, you know, switch sideways, probably we can try one of these guys. And same goes with Bamford as well. I know a couple of popular names in the community began the season with Bamford. So Bamford, we know what he did a couple of seasons back. So he's still capable. So a really good player, and the first game was really good as well. So he ended up with
he
an
should
assist.
Have, he should have got a 10-point haul at least, because that was a close penalty call which should have been given, and he is the likely one to be on penalties. Him or Rodrigo should be the one on penalties. And yeah, I think Southampton looked really bad on the Leeds fixture, and they could be one of the teams to target in the initial weeks. They are really poor defensively. Yeah, that's the one like want to have in mind.
Yeah, so these are probably the few players that we've mentioned based on the numbers and all. But I think as and when the games go ahead with more game weeks and we'll have more data, and I think that's how we'll be able to see how players play, how teams perform. But these are very early shouts, and don't make rash decisions is what we'll say. This game week one has just got over. It's game week two. Just don't start bombarding players from game week one who haul, and things suppose don't go away. That's how things go on. So I think you've covered up differentials. The next, I think, is the big one. I think that's the captaincy debate. And there's two people, two gents on the screen. And I think, again, there's a division in the community who is going with whom. So I want to start with Srini. I think it's a pretty obvious question, who is going to captain.
Yeah, it's obvious. And I think I'm going with surely with Haaland. Just for the fact, I think Bournemouth are still the sides to target, the likes of Bournemouth, Southampton. They are the ones to target, and despite again Palace conceding two goals against Arsenal, I think they were really organized when the game went on. They took the initial 20-25 minutes to settle down, and they looked really good. And we haven't spoken about Palace, so I think Anderson was really good at the back, and he could be one of the potential defenders in the future. He recorded, he was spraying balls and.
He was managed to go over them from the left side, right side. So that was something which was interesting to see.
Yeah, despite a 2-0 loss, I think he was the highest. He had the highest expected assist among defenders. A centre back usually having those numbers is very a difficult thing to see. I think he's the one to watch in the coming weeks when their fixtures is around game week 5. And yeah, so coming back to Salah, I think. Salah and Nunes will be against a strong Crystal Palace defense rather than a Haaland who will be against a Bournemouth defense. So I think the opposition, not the quality of these players, the opposition is what makes my call so easy this time. Palace are a very good side, and Bournemouth, despite winning 2-0 against Villa, I think they are the team to target. So I'm going with Haaland.
Okay, that's done and dusted. Suresh?
Yeah, I think not much to add or take a contrary call on this one. It's pretty much obvious, and the effective ownership is going to skyrocket with Haaland. Having said that, I'll put a little bit of caveats here. So one thing to watch out was the minutes. That's something which we discussed all along preseason, and all the articles that we have referred in the past in our shows as well. So he was hooked off at the 75th minute in the first game. So that's something to have in mind if he is going to score and bring all a lot of points to your FPL teams. Hope and pray that it happens before the 70th minute or in and around the 70th minute mark. So there's good chance that he would be taken off once again. Integrate him slowly into the team and slowly into the league as well. So give him that 10-15 minute breather each game, and then try and play him, given week in, week out, 90 minutes or something like that. So that's the little thing which would I would suggest to have in the back of mind. But if you still don't have Haaland, let me put it that way. If you still don't have Haaland and want to stick with Kane, the other good option, most likely the people would have gone with Salah and Kane. I think Salah is not a bad choice at all. Historically, Liverpool at home against Crystal Palace have done really well. They've never scored less than one goal. They've always scored more than two goals, if I have to put it that.
I think that's the next slide. Salah against
Palace. You do have. Okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, so let's go to the next one. Yeah. So I think last
exactly
five
what
games,
I was
something Salah had 7 goals and 5 assists or something in last 5 games against Palace or something. That's what the numbers say. And I think City is record against last season's newly promoted teams, right? Basically 20 goals and 2 goals conceded or something, or just conceding twice is, I think, it's astonishing there. So you need to toss a coin and then decide, I think. I think there could be a yep. situation where both of them haul. So that's what is going to probably going to happen.
Very much possible. And there is a bit of extra motivation to Liverpool is that they are coming out of a draw against Fulham. So they will be really eager to, you know, win this game and take 3 points. So that's some added motivation for them. But yeah, if you have both Haaland and Salah, I think, as Aditya mentioned, it's a flip of a coin. Go with your gut feel, who you think, you know, would return. And don't regret the move if it is otherwise around.
Yeah. Just don't regret, because after game week 2, there's still, you know, 36 weeks more to go. 36 game weeks. So, you know, just a start. So just look at that. In my opinion, I have Kane at the moment. So it's on Salah. If I do Kane to Haaland, then I may switch. That's what I would like to say at this point. I don't want to speak more because if I speak, I...
we'll come to that shortly when we are discussing about the teams. Yeah.
Yeah. So next, let's go on to some of the questions that we got from Instagram. We posted a story yesterday asking for a few questions, and these are some of the common questions we got from Insta. And Salah or Haaland captain, I think let's not answer that. It's up to you. Will KDB score the most points this week?
Why not? Possible. Yeah. Okay, yeah. There's another interesting question. Triple captain, yeah. Haaland. Yeah, I mean, go for it. What's the game is all about fun. You know, if you feel so, go for it. But, you know, as we always advise, it is better to be saved for your double game weeks at the later point of the season. But why not? If you want to take a pun, go for it.
There's another one interesting. Have 2.5 million in the bank, get Darwin or another 8 million midfielder. Ooh.
I think it's a matter of who you are removing. I think if you are removing someone like Jesus to get Darwin, don't do that. And if you're removing someone who in the 5.5 bracket like Unda or someone pre-season hype you have got and you are moving to someone like Nunes, I think it's a good call to make.
I would rather suggest if you are investing additional 2.5, take another game, you know, game week of info and take a better choice in game week 3 rather. You know, stick with what you have. If you have better players, you know, better fixtures this week, just ride it out, because 2.5 million you're putting into a player or upgrading someone, you know, from a budget to, you know, sub-premium category, it's a huge investment. You're going to lock that player for at least for a few game weeks. So try and take that few more weeks of info, one more week of info, and then make that call.
I think the next one I'll pick is a very easy question. Worth selling James or Perisic for Walker?
I won't sell. Yeah, both of them. Yeah, same. James for sure. Perisic, I think this week you can bench him and you can wait and watch.
Okay, I think that's an easy answer. I think both of us would agree to that. How about if I bring Bowen and captain him?
It's me.
Wow, that's
oh my god.
That's a crazy differential option.
And that's a huge call.
Yeah. He also features in our differentials article, so I think you can have a read on to convince yourself a little more if you want to go for it. Yeah, that's not a bad call.
And the other popular question, I think, is what to do with Bailey. I think we pretty much answered this in the discussion we had, Bailey. So, you know,
what
try
to do with
holding
Bailey
on.
Have 0.5 in the bank, I think it's something. Yeah, hold on for a week and then get probably Aaronson. Or
exactly.
Something.
If you're not comfortable, I would suggest if you have the likes of Andres Pereira, probably play Andres Pereira, you know, put Bailey on the bench. If in case if you get, you know, assured comments from the manager and the press conference that he's going to change the system or he's going to bench him and stuff. So probably you can do that. But I would, you know, agree with Aditya. Stick with him for another week.
There's another one. I think there are some similar questions here. What taking a hit to get Haaland? Or there is something also very similar. Can I still go Kane or Haaland? Or give Kane another chance or take minus four over Haaland? These are three similar questions here.
I think that
you want to go straight.
Yeah, like Aditya's dilemma. I think he's someone who has 0.5 in the bank, so he won't face that one. But
yeah, yeah.
I think, but would you take a hit to bring in?
Yes, that is
Haaland
something
ahead of Kane. Yeah, that is something I'll still think about it, because I think Kane, come game week four, he has a good fixture. Game week three is also a good fixture. Because game week two is the only one which you'll be afraid of an Haaland all. Kane is also capable of still getting a big haul against Chelsea. Like, that could be the most
typical
FPL thing to happen. Kane getting a 10-plus haul and Haaland blanking would be the most FPL thing to happen. So, I'm not sure. I won't take a hit to get in Haaland for Kane after the price changes, especially. Because you have already lost 0.2 on those transfer if you haven't done it yet. I think for a hit, I won't do it. If you have Salah, you can captain him and stay there.
Yeah, I think not taking a hit is better at this point, right? Just why are you wasting hits and I'm wasting your points? Just wait and see. There's another question that is related to City, that's between Walker and Ake, who might be nailed over the next 5 weeks.
I mean, that's a very, very tricky question to answer. I think Ake will be the one who will be more nailed still, but Walker will still have the bonus point potential which we have talked about. So I think it's a very close call, but I personally feel Ake would be the one more nil, because he could slot in at left back also when if required, and Cancelo could play at the right. And when Stones is fully fit, what I've read about Stones is he's not yet fully match fit and he will take his time to get back. So I think when around the time Champions League comes, is the time when we can see Stones starting games around game week 4-5. So I think for a very shorter run, if you're going till game week 4 or something, okay. But if you want a little longer run till game week 8, I think I'll go with Walker.
I think, again, best answer is from a City fan. I think we did get that. I think both of us, if me and Suresh had something, it might end up going wrong. So let's better not, you know, dip our toes somewhere we don't want to. I'm going to put this comment.
Yeah.
Those who are watching, please subscribe. I think we are going to see regular streams that we are doing over the last few weeks. We'll do the same over the next couple of weeks throughout the season. So do subscribe, drop a like to this video also. That will help us, you know, play around with the YouTube algorithms and all those SEO things, more advanced things. Those who are watching, if you have any other questions, please do drop in. We'll try our best to answer if it, you know, we are able to.
one interesting question, which I saw, I'll put it to Suresh, is it worth taking a minus? Should I start Kulusevski for game week two? Should I start Kulusevski for game week two or bench him and start a City defender instead?
Where do people have so much luxury? That's the first question I would.
Very good tip. Yeah.
True. When you're in a dilemma of, I think you should play both. You know, if you have any sort of issue, you should probably find weakness elsewhere to bench. I would say both these options would be really good to bench. It's too good of an option to bench. I would try and accommodate both of them in the playing 11.
That's the best answer even I would give. Just play both of them. The high chance both will get something at the end of the day.
Exactly.
I think we're done answering questions. Any other questions you found, Shreen?
Yeah, a few more questions which I saw. Like, what should I do with Mount and Gabriel? I think if you have the 8 million mids, most of the 8 million mids, Mount, Saka, Diaz, I think they are all of them are a perfect hole for me. I think you guys would agree to it. Give them a few more game weeks too, because they are proven players, all the 8 million mids, and no point in switching between them at the moment. And Gabriel is also a easy hold. Like, he is the one nailed at the center back, and he also got a bonus point. I think they have very good fixtures. And one more question was fullbacks to buy. That was a very, very easy, not an easy question, like very not well put up question. But one thing what I got reminded talking about fullbacks was Aitnori owners. I saw a lot of Aitnori owners getting disappointed with the -1 point haul. But
his positioning was excellent.
Yeah, exactly. What I watched the highlights of the game and he was the best Wolves player on the pitch for me. He was, I think he had a very good XG of 0.4 and XA of 0.27. So which is very great for a 4.5 defender. I think he should be a sure hold. And if you, no point in buying him now, but if you have him, he had suppressed all the preseason numbers over Johnny. It was a call between Johnny and Aitnori. I think XG, XA chance created. He created 3 chances to Johnny's 0. I think he is the standout pick against Johnny. And he's also on my watch list.
Yes, I think, yeah, I did see Aitnori a couple of times in the box. I think he had one near attempt wherein goalie saved or something. But literally was in the box. And he was making those nice overlapping runs. So I think he looked very, very promising. We are having some disturbances behind. Apologies, I can't help. If not, then it's great. It's not getting picked up by my mic. Next, we'll go on to is our current bus teams. I think we did discuss in between most of these things wherein I think two of them already have Haaland, and I can see armband in both the cases. Wherein in mind, it's the same, like I said, Salah, because I don't have. I think it's pretty much the same thing that we covered, I think. I think both of you are going to save your transfers, right? I think that's how it's looking for this time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Shini?
Yeah. I'm also rolling the transfer, and it's good to have 2 free transfers for Game Week 3 when we have 2 games of data and a larger sample. Like, it's more like 50% of games you have watched, and I would be happy to take 2 transfers.
Yeah. That's obviously better. That's what I was hoping for. But then that brace against West Ham is like, okay, I think might have to do this.
I think it's panel in the work, yeah.
Yeah, I can't help.
Shreya, how nailed are you with Haaland captain? I know we've discussed this, at the beginning of the pod. But is there even a slightest chance that you have considered switching it to Salah for some strange reason?
I will give the answer. Wait for that captaincy metric, then we'll decide.
I'll watch out for the metrics, but even if the metrics predicts, I think I'll still go against Salah. I think I'm very confident on Haaland. I'm not opening my team at all. I logged my team and I think I'm good to go.
See, he's a happy City fan and he's very optimistic, unlike us who are like going to lose every week.
Suresh did the sensible move of not having Dalot and Sancho in his FPL team. So, I think it's on you, Aditya. So
I don't have Dalot. I made the switch to Dini and I ended up getting the same amount of points as what Dalot did. So, anyway, I don't mind that. But I have Rashford. Don't want to say. I think I might have to do many transfers.
You could have easily had an attacking return, man. But yeah, let's not go there. I've been cold all along. All our streams have been pretty cold on Manchester United. That's known for a fact. Yeah.
Yeah, I think with that we'll come to an end, because let's not talk about United, because we're just going to waste our time. So that brings us to the end of this stream. We've covered up pretty much or less of whatever that is essentially, and whatever we've seen over the last few days. We started with review, preview, talking about the key fixtures, the key players, Haaland versus Kane, the City fullbacks, Darwin Nunez, Martinelli, Vardy, differentials, our teams, the questions, our captaincy charges. So yeah, that pretty much brings us to the end of this stream. Hope everybody who joined us, gained insightful knowledge. If you have any questions to drop in, we'll just wait for the next couple of seconds or less, we'll wrap it up. So guys, we want to add anything to the closing words?
There's one question that I can pick. Will City new signing impact Walker's minutes? So that's one question. So that's definitely a possibility, but we need to watch out what's happening in the transfer market. That's going to be like for another three more weeks. So we never know what will happen, who City go for and stuff. But until then, I think Walker is, in a way, he's safe. Let's say for, 2 to 3 more game weeks at least. And then we'll see what happens. If you already have Walker, I would say it is best to hold on to him. If you're getting in Walker, always have that, have a backup plan. There's always a threat for his place, irrespective of whether they sign another right back or not. I think Srini might
Add
more to
this. City have potentially signed Sergio Gomez from Anderlecht. So I think if City don't get a, and there were rumors with Rafael Guerrero from Dortmund. So I think the plan is to loan out Sergio Gomez if City don't get a left back in the window. If City get a left back, they'll loan out Sergio Gomez. And if City don't get someone at left back, I think he'll stay at City. But I don't think he'll potentially impact Walker's minute. I think it will take time for him to get used to. And I think he's more of a cup game player or whenever there isn't a need to play him. I still think, yeah, like Suresh told, Walker is a good pick. If you have him, sure hold. I think you can still get him if you want. And around game week 6 or 7, be ready to have an alternate plan.
Yes, I think so. We've covered up the last question that came up. So that brings us to the end of the stream. As I said a few minutes back, I nearly did the outro and we had one question pop up. So those who joined us, at least it helped you making, take decisions for game week 2. And we'll see you all next week, game week 3, and we'll see how things went in game week 2. And we'll basically talk about how for game week 3 and the things ahead. So those who are listening to us on the audio platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, please do drop in the ratings. And on YouTube, please do subscribe and drop a like on this clip. And yeah, we'll see you all next week.